Morning, church family. It's good to see everyone here this morning while the plates finish passing. I want you to notice the pictures on the slide behind me. What do you see? We're family. This is our family. And all that Craig and I present to you today is about the work of God among our family and through our family. And so on behalf of the ministers and the shepherds, let me say thank you for being a part of this family. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. And we're going to do a brief presentation of the 2017 budget this morning, and we ask that you begin now to prayerfully consider how you might participate through your time, your talent, and your financial gifts.
All right, on this next slide, if you look in the upper left-hand corner, this is a record of our 2016 giving. And the thing that I think is really important here is, first, it's a very strong level, and it's pretty consistent through the course of the year at about $19,200 per week. And in the upper right, you see that the attendance at Alta Mesa has been on an upward trend during the last part of 2016. And one great reason for this is that we have added 67 new members so far just in this year alone. You see some of them. Yeah, isn't that awesome? You see some of them pictured here, and it really is a blessing from God. Your ministers and shepherds believe so strongly in what God is doing among us that as we began planning for the 2017 church budget, we pledge to increase our contributions as a leadership group to the general budget, totaling $35,000 more in 2017. So based on all that data that you just saw, the shepherds and the MCAT have set a budget for 2017 at $1,042,000. Now, this figure aligns very well, very closely, with the current level of weekly contribution. So I want to pause for just a second here and encourage everyone in our family to commit to continuing to support God's work here each week. I know some of us, if we go on vacation or other things come up, we may forget. I can assure you that the ministry work at Alta Mesa doesn't take a vacation. So I would encourage you to the extent possible to make up such absences. It is really important for the work of this congregation because we're really trying to do robust ministry work here. And it takes the resources of this congregation to do so. Now, this pie chart illustrates how that $1 million, $42,000 budget will be distributed to the work here at Alta Mesa. Now, every dollar in our budget is used for ministry in some form or fashion. But you'll notice that debt service is consuming a fairly large percentage of the total budget. And the ministry piece is smaller than any of us would really like. So as we developed the 2017 budget, we needed to reckon with the impact of debt service, but we also sought to find ways to continue to expand the ministry work at Alta Mesa at the same time. So just like at home, we realize if we reduce debt, we have more resources freed up for other uses, and in this case, for ministries. So we're excited this morning to describe the budget and the initiatives that we think accomplish exactly those goals.
All right, so here's a few quick facts about our existing debt. 6.5 years ago, many of you were here when we renovated this facility, and that established for us a $2.99 million debt. That included folding in $700,000 existing debt that we had prior to that. So our monthly payment is $16,567 toward our debt right now. And our current balance is $2.3 million. Over the next 5 years, we project to pay off around $500,000 of principal with that monthly payment.
So the leadership team has been praying over our budget situation for several months. And a 5-year plan called Free to Serve is the product of that time of prayer and planning. Simplistic overview of Free to Serve is We desire to attack our debt and expand ministry funding that aligns with our church family's financial means and interests.
So here's the exciting part for me. So as we look at the 2017 budget, it's going to include three kind of separate components. First, the traditional weekly budget, as Craig just mentioned. But second, a set of free to serve above and beyond opportunities to give towards specific ministry projects throughout the year. And third, debt reduction. We're saying above and beyond because the free to serve opportunities are designed to be gifts targeted for specific ministry needs above and beyond our weekly contributions. In January, the leadership will start to describe and unpack these ministry projects that we're going to focus in on and we're going to support together throughout the year.
Some of our members have volunteered to help significantly reduce the church indebtedness. As of today, we have received 16 very generous pledges towards debt reduction, totaling, are you ready for this? $716,350.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Over the next 5 years, our goal is to retire $1 million worth of debt. If the Free to Serve initiative raises $1 million towards the principal, while at the same time our monthly payments burn off another $500,000, we will reduce the total debt for this congregation to less than $800,000 by 2021. If anyone here would like to donate towards that debt reduction, you are welcome to join us in that endeavor. If you find any Krugerrands behind your piano, anything like that, you know, just bring them on out. But truly, if you would like to do so, and if you are moved to do so, just see any shepherd or minister, and they can provide you with information about how to participate.
Guys, listen. This is an attainable goal. We can do this together. And as you look at these pictures of our children, and you're going to see some of their talents here in just a moment, let me just ask us, whose shoulders are they going to stand on? Because our congregation currently stands, I currently stand, you currently stand on the shoulders of some very courageous and generous Christians who sacrificed to build this place in the 1970s. We stand on their shoulders. And the prayer of this current leadership is that we can be the ones to secure a bright future for our youth so that they can raise their families here at the Alta Mesa Church of Christ.
So again, if you would like to participate in the Free to Serve debt reduction plan, find a shepherd or a minister today and ask for a pledge card. And if you have questions about the details behind the budget plan that we showed on that pie chart a minute ago, you're welcome to attend the annual budget meeting. It'll be held today at 12:30 in room A2. Let's bow together and ask God to bless these efforts. Our Heavenly Father, you are truly our source of hope and of strength. Father, you work powerfully in your children and in your church. We thank you, Father, for blessing each of us here and for blessing this church family. Father, we petition you and ask you to continue blessing the ministries of Alta Mesa, to grow your kingdom. Father, we ask a special blessing upon the budget that we have planned for 2017 and for the members who will support that budget. Father, give us a spirit of courage, of compassion, and generosity to continue to grow your work in this part of Fort Worth and throughout the world. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, children, so much. And church family, that's just a preview of their children's Christmas musical that's coming up, not this Sunday night, but December 11th, 1 week from today at 5 p.m. right here in the Worship Center. All of you are invited to come and see the rest. That was just the teaser. All right. You won't want to miss it. In addition, I'm sure you've noticed how the kids were bringing in some greenery to hang on the pews. This is not just festive decoration. The ceremony is called the Hanging of the Greens, and it's symbolic of preparing for the coming of the king. Greens such as cedar represent royalty, and others like pine represent everlasting life, preparing us for the first coming of Christ and pointing us toward His second coming. So as we enjoy the decoration, let us also weekly be reminded that our God is eternal and that He is sovereign. Today we're going to continue our series, Pursuing the King. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we are constantly preparing for things. You ever feel the rush and the stress of that? Whether it's for a test, right, kids? That final exam or that midterm exam, a family gathering, a nice meal, maybe a husband's, a date night, some preparation there, a doctor's appointment. Maybe it's the coming of a new season and there's preparation. But preparation is always a wise move to ready ourselves for what's coming. As the night has started coming earlier and the winds this weekend started blowing colder, there are lots of things that we start putting on, right? Some of you start putting on wool socks, not me. That sounds horrifying. Warm PJs, hats, gloves, fleece blankets, big sweaters, scarves. We turn on the heat for the first time. We put another log on the fire, and we put on some extra lights on the house because it appears, it at least appears, that it holds back the darkness just for a bit, even if we lose our sanity hanging them up. But it seems to hold back the darkness, and so we string those extra lights up, and we put on festive clothes, and we go to those gatherings and parties, and if we're the host, we put out our best dishes for our guests. And perhaps, maybe that's why the Christian Advent story is so difficult for some of us, because our spirit of putting on and throwing ourselves headfirst into the rhythms of the season is actually the opposite of the prophetic message in the gospel story. Because you see, in the biblical narrative, despite its ominous overtones, the prophets echo the message, be prepared, be ready. The day is coming, declares the Lord. And a big first step in our preparations for the coming of the King is not putting on. It's actually stripping off. And so amidst a time of deep hopelessness came a message that twinkled in the light and it dimmed the darkness. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley will be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. Isaiah 40 verses 3 through 5. And so it's this sense of preparation that is meant to remind us that the kingdom of God is everywhere. And it's calling us back to the narrow road of the Lord where redemption flows. And we need this reminder. We need it. Because we all know that our lives, despite our good intentions, despite our beliefs, it often feels like a substantial weight is just pressing down on us. Squelching hope, stealing our peace, and blinding us from the light. And so in order to lighten that load, some of us, we need to take off the fears and the pains that weigh us down and keep us distant from the love of God, because we carry those around. We carry our fears, we carry our pains like a heavy wool coat, and we try to wrap up in it, and we try to hide our fears. We try to hide our pain through festive themes and parties and shopping sprees and the like. But really what we need is a moment of silence, a place with God that is quiet, where he will meet us and unburden our heart and give light to our soul. Maybe some of that extra baggage that we've been carrying, maybe we can just sit it down. And others of us, we need to take off our feelings of isolation and loneliness, whether from habit or from self-protection, even while we are enjoying some of the spirit that the Christmas season brings. It is time to take off the blinders that keep us from realizing the power of love and community. We need to authentically ask for forgiveness. Others of us genuinely need to extend it. We all need times to go to dinner with friends and just enjoy the company, because God made us to be in community. And some of us, we need to take off our guilt and shame. You see, Advent is about recognizing all that Jesus brought into the world and celebrating all that he has created. It's about taking off the burden that your sin is too much for Jesus to bear, and to realize and to receive that his grace is enough. And all of us, I believe, all of us have our own unique list of addictions, bad habits, illusions, whatever you want to call it, that weigh us down. And listen to me, church, we cannot afford to drag them around with us any longer. It's time to strip them off the pressure of being perfect, especially this time of year. It's not all going to be perfect. It's okay. Striving to be what we are not. Masking true hurts behind the facade of a chemical or fantasy or that dingy collection of grudges that we keep prisoner in the corner of our hearts. It's time to let those things go. If we really want to shine, it is time to crucify those desires so that Christ can live in us. You see, Advent preparation then, it can be a solemn time. That 3 minutes I just spent with you was not fun, right? But we must go through the darkness so that the light can shine on it. We must not avoid it. We must not shy away from it. We must not act like it's not there. Because true light is not something that we can create or even find. The light of the world comes to us when we are genuinely ready to receive it. Because the light of the world is a person, and he is constant, and he is true, and he shines brightly. And so remember this, friend. Remember this. That moment that you decide to lay bare your heart and soul is the same moment that you will find true hope, peace, joy, love, and light. There was one who was the master of preparations. If you have your Bibles, join me in Luke chapter 3. He prepared the way for the Messiah. And here was his message. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same." And then even the tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. And then some of the soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly, and they were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You see, John's message to the crowd in the desert is a message that you and I still need to hear today. It was a message of repentance, of turning our lives and our hearts back toward God. The analogy of the axe and the tree was a symbolic way for John to stress that God's judgment was near for those who would give no evidence of repentance in their lives. You know what was interesting to me about John's message? Did you pick up that there were three different times that three different groups of people came to him and asked the same exact question? And what's unique is that John's answer was unique to them. They asked the same question, but he would give a different answer to the group that was asking. First, the crowd in general asked John, after he preached to them about turning their lives back toward God, it's like they raised their hand and said, wait a minute. So what do we need to do? What should we do then? And John's message was pretty simple back to them. He says, you can begin with sharing. Share what you have. If you have more than you need, give to your neighbor in need. You see, the shirt or the tunic in this passage is something like a long undershirt. And in John's opinion, if you had two of those, that was more than enough. And so if you have a neighbor who doesn't have one, you should give your extra one to that person in need. It's a very simple principle, right? One that we can understand, one that says we should share out of our abundance, or better yet, share of yourself with others. And that's what my prayer is for us this Advent season, is that we can find creative ways to give of ourselves for the betterment of others. Maybe you saw as you were coming in this morning in the gathering room, the giving wall. The giving wall is there for us and will be there for us over the next several weeks to remind us that there is always a creative way that we can give the gift of us. The gift of us. And some of you may be thinking this morning, I don't have enough money to buy that present that my niece or nephew asked for or my grandchild asked for. Did you ever stop and wonder that the greatest gift that you and I could ever give is the gift of us? The gift of us. And so I invite you this morning, stop by the giving wall, because everyone needs love in the form of relationship. You'll find some ideas to get you started, but maybe you can come up with your own ideas, and that's wonderful. But start with the giving wall to find some helpful ideas. So next, John he's conversing directly with the crowd, and up walks some Jewish enemies. Some tax collectors came to be baptized, to turn their lives back over to God. And what would John do? Would he say, no, when I gave that message of turning your life back to God, it wasn't for you, sorry. No, he welcomed his enemies. They said, what should we do? John said, well, basically, don't be greedy. In verse 13. You see, taxes were collected by these Roman agents, if you will, who at times would deceive how much taxes were owed, and they would overcharge. They would overcharge the people for dishonest gain, for selfish gain. And so as we pursue the ways of the coming king, ask yourself, how do I defraud others? Not necessarily taking their money or stealing something that's not theirs, but how do you deceive others? How do you defraud your family? How do you defraud people at work? How do you put on a fake facade to make yourself look better? Instead of being selfish and greedy, let's be generous and authentic. And then last, some soldiers in the crowd, maybe they're the guards for the tax collectors, because again, they're Roman employees, and so the Roman government would possibly assign Roman soldiers to protect these tax collectors. Either way, there's some Roman soldiers in the crowd, people deployed by this pagan empire to enforce the law and arrest those who refuse to abide by it. And they ask John, so what should we do? And John's basic reply to them is, don't abuse your power. Don't abuse your power. Be content with your pay and treat others fairly. Did you know that you have power? All of us have a certain kind of power, and you may not even realize it. It may not be the power of position. Maybe you have inherited privilege. By how much money you have or the color of your skin. We didn't ask for this. We were born into this. But some of us have some tremendous power by position or by inherited privilege. Others of us, and I would argue all of us, have the power of influence. There's someone looking at you and watching. Whether it's a child or a grandchild or a neighbor or another family member or someone at work or your neighbor, someone's watching you. And don't get creeped out by that. Take that as a privilege, as a compliment, as a privilege, as a responsibility to say, I'm not going to abuse my power. Instead, I'm going to do my very best to be authentic, to be love, to be peace, to be joy. Could we just say, to be like Jesus to those who are around me, because we all have the power of influence and we don't want to abuse our power. And so just as John was preparing the hearts of those that would hear the message of Jesus, the Messiah, the King that would come, his message here in Luke 3 still rings true for us today. These are kingdom of God values that point us toward the way of Jesus. And so I just want to close with this last question for us today, okay? What sinful old rags do you need to take off today so that then in exchange you can clothe yourselves with the values of Jesus? And there are many values of the kingdom of God. We just looked at three today. Sharing of your possessions, not hoarding. Being selfless instead of selfish. And being humble in nature, not prideful in position. And so what are the things that are weighing you down? What are the things that you need to turn over to God? What are the things you need to repent of? So that then Jesus can come in and clothe you with the ways of the kingdom of God. I would beg you to pursue that today. Take those old rags off and put on the new clothes of the kingdom of God. Just one last word about the giving wall. I again challenge you to stop by and pick up an idea or two to take with you. And then as you kind of carry that out, as you give yourself as a gift for the betterment of others around you, would you take time? I would ask you to take time to just write down a note and record how it went. How did you experience God by carrying out what you're going to do? And then you'll find a box there at the giving wall on one of the tables. I'd love for you to anonymously return that note and just drop it in that box. I would love to share some of those stories with the church as a way of encouragement. So if you would do that, I would really love to share some of your stories. As this Advent season comes and goes, I pray that we can find ways to share. I find that we can find ways to not be greedy, but to be generous, and find ways to be humble and not abusing our power. Jesus Christ came, and he came under humble circumstances. He gave up heaven to put on flesh, to move into our neighborhood, if you will. He humbled himself to become a servant. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The best gift you and I have ever received is the gift of someone else. The gift of Jesus Christ. Come in the flesh, walked among us, taught, lived, gave of himself freely so that me and you might have redemption. And this morning, if you've never said yes to Jesus, we would love to witness that this morning, your confession, your baptism. If you need to respond to the Lord this morning, please do that now. Let's stand and sing together. Jesus.